If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn over to a verse of Scripture which I think we all can quote off by heart. And that's 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, 2 weeks ago, I spoke on a subject which I entitled A Change of Identity. It was on the YouTube and it was called A Change of Identity. And we saw that Saul, a religious, well-respected, well-connected man, needed a change of identity. The world thought that he was perfect. He himself thought that he was perfect. They thought that this man was doing God's will. He was going out and arresting people and taking them and putting them into jail. And they thought that he was doing what was right in the sight of God. But it took an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ for him to realize that his identity needed to change. And that's often the case with many of us as well. We need to have our identities changed. Many of us have grown up in a church. Many of us have attended many, many church services. We go to church every Sunday. We do unto others as they will have do unto us. We do all those things in the right way. We are very good people. But really, we need a change of identity. Now, Saul got to the point where he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that encounter, he knew that he had to change his identity. But he knew that he had to change his identity, not by what man says, but by what God says. Saul did not go to any man to find out what he needed to do. He went to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He went into Arabia, and there the Lord revealed unto him what he wanted out of his life. And so Saul had a fantastic change of identity. But as I said that 2 weeks ago as well, it was only when he put into practice what he had learned that he really had a true change of identity. Before that, he was still called Saul. But in Acts 13, when he goes and he curses Elymas, suddenly his identity is changed from Saul to Paul. And that's the same with you and I. We can go to church every day of our lives. We can read the Bible daily. We can say our prayers. We can do unto others as we would have them do unto us. We can do all those things. But if we do not put into practice what the Word of God says, that's when we need to be very, very careful. Then we need to start realizing that we need to accept what God's word says and not what we've been taught over our lives. Saul was very, very fortunate. He had a vision. He had a sighting of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went into Arabia and the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to him the word that he wanted to reveal to him. But you and I don't have that kind of experience. We don't have that opportunity. So how do you and I get to know what we need to do? When Jesus told Saul what he needed to do, he went and he did it. But what does the Lord tell you? What does the Lord tell me to do? And how do we hear him say what we should do? Well, if you have a look on the front of your bulletin, you'll see there's a verse of Scripture there, which we have there every week. And I trust that you all read it every week when you come into the church, because it's the same one every week. So by now, everybody should be able to quote it off by heart. Acts 17, verse 11, what does it say? These were more noble than all those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they received the word of God with all readiness and then searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So that's one of the most important things for us to understand. You and I need to make sure that what John or I or any preacher from this pulpit says is what the word of God says. Make sure that you're not following a man, make sure that you are following the Word of God. Once we start to be like the Bereans and study the Word of God and know what to do, then we will see that they were more noble because they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind, but then they went and also searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so. One day, every single one of us will have to give account of what we have done with the Word of God. One day, every single one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we will be judged. And the thing that we get told in the Bible is that we will be judged according to my gospel. Who said that? The Apostle Paul. So we need to understand that when we stand before the throne of Christ and before the judgment seat of Christ, we will be judged according to Paul's gospel. But the thing is that you and I cannot go and stand in front of that judgment seat of Christ and say, well, you know, Alan said so, or John said so, because the Bible tells us quite clearly that we ourselves will have to give account to God ourselves. So let's get on to our reading for today. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. So do you study the Scriptures? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you do that? Do you study the Scriptures on a daily basis? Do you make sure that what I am saying or what John or somebody else says is the truth? Because it's only once you start to study the Scriptures for yourselves. Take note of that 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself, well, it says thyself in the Bible, but yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. So who? You must study, not me. You must study to show who? To show yourself approved unto who? Unto man? No, unto God. It doesn't matter what a man thinks of you. It doesn't matter what the other people think of you. Think of what God thinks of you. So we need to accept that that God is going to be the one that is going to judge us according to what we have done. Do we study to show ourselves approved unto God? So all of our Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man and the woman of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So how do you know that the Bible is profitable? We know that the Bible consists of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. That's how our Bible is set up in that we have in our hands. But actually, we need to realize that the Old Testament didn't stop at Malachi. The Old Testament only stopped once Christ was crucified. We need to understand those type of things. So for convenience sake, our Bible has been set up as it is, because when Christ came on the scene, they thought, well, that was the new beginning. But it was only once he was crucified that the New Testament was put into effect. So therefore, we need to understand that as well, is that all Scripture is given for inspiration, but it needs to be rightly divided. So is the Scripture profitable? Well, I'm going to start right back at Genesis. Everybody knows where Genesis is, eh? That's in the beginning of your Bible. Genesis starts off by saying, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Of course, we have so many people that are trying to prove us wrong by saying, oh, no, God didn't create the heaven and the earth. That just happened with a big bang. But of course, they cannot answer the rest of the Scriptures. Because right back in Genesis, the Bible says that God created man out of the dust of the earth. Did you know, and I'm sure most of you do, but some people may not, did you know that the human body contains 11 elements? There's a couple more elements as well, but the main elements, there's 11 elements in our body that are exactly the same as the earth. Now I'll put it up for you. Our body is made up of mostly water. Water contains oxygen. The earth, two-thirds of the earth is water, and it contains mostly oxygen. Then we have carbon. The earth contains carbon, our bodies contain carbon. Hydrogen. The earth contains hydrogen, our bodies contain hydrogen. Nitrogen, calcium, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, sodium, chlorine, magnesium. That's what your body is made up of. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 2 verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So we see that Scripture, all Scripture is profitable, because you wouldn't know how you were constructed unless you went back into Genesis and you started to read what the Bible says. The other thing that the Bible tells us as well, especially with this thing that's going on at the moment about the BLM. We all know what BLM means, eh? We all know that. And because of that, we need to really realize what the world thinks. Acts 17 verse 26 says, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." So therefore, all nations are from one blood. Every single one of us comes from the exact same blood. But it says that God hath appointed the boundaries for their habitation. So because we come from one blood, doesn't matter what color our skin is, doesn't matter from what country we come. There was a study done on 53 different nations. And after the study was done, they came down and they came to the conclusion that there are basically three different sets of genetics. You have the Caucasian, you have the Mongoloid, and you have the Negroid. Those are the three different, or the three basic genetics. And it was Japheth, Shem, and Ham. That's where we get it from. So we see that we look at the Bible and we see there are so many things in the Bible that tell us how God has worked. Study the Word of God, because by studying the Word of God, you'll know what is going to happen. What has happened in this last 5-6 months, Scripture helps you to understand what is happening, how things are taking place, how the end times are coming, how we can share with other people as well. So therefore, the Lord said, go and populate the earth. But what do they do? "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, and let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make unto us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." If you want to know what the future holds, if you want to know what God expects from you, read your Bible. Study your Bible. You know, we've only looked at the first 11 chapters of the Bible. And already we know that God created us from the dust of the earth. Already we know that different genetics come from three people, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Already we know that the nations were scattered because of the Tower of Babel. God set their habitations. God said, yes, they will be all from one blood, but you will live in different places because you must fill the earth. What are we trying to do? We're trying to bring us all back together and make us all one again. Don't fill all the earth. Let's become one. And what has happened? Because we want to be one, we got viruses that come from an eastern nation to all the other nations. Because we want to be together. We don't want to be apart. We want to do opposite to what God wants from us. Man will always fight against God. The man who is spiritual will fight for God. The man who is fleshly will fight against God. And as we study the Word of God, we see the pattern of how man has from the beginning been against God. We haven't even touched on Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. But unless you read the Bible, we all love to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We all love to read the Psalms. But tell me, who likes to read Deuteronomy or Leviticus? Not many. But you know what? If you go and read Leviticus, you'll find how much God hates certain sins. But it's only when you read Leviticus. And therefore, my encouragement to you is study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't rely on somebody else to do the study for you. Because remember, the leaders, the preachers, the Bible teachers are all only human. And they too can make mistakes. So let's all get back into the Word of God and really study it for ourselves. Amen.